Dirt and Sprague.
I really do believe they're either going to live up to the hype or they're going to have a very mediocre season.
Starting your day with a big cup of dirt.
No, I'm not a bro.
And a little splash of Sprague.
Peekaboo.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Let's do this. Final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your days are off to a fantastic start.
What are we doing here?
Let me tell you what we're going to do here. We got Statter Story coming up in about 20 minutes from now, a little over that. We'll get to Statter Story, as we always do on Wednesdays. We'll get you set for day two of Big Ten Media Days live from Chicago. Dan Lanning will be on the podium at about 10:30. I'm sure he's going to go through the whole car wash. I've been watching. I've had the Big Ten Network on. They've been replaying basically yesterday's stuff, so not the new live yet, but I imagine there's car washes that he'll go through and do a bunch of different interviews. They got the players there. So day two of Big Ten Media Days are upon us, and that's where I would like to start the final hour of the radio program today. Before we get to some stuff from earlier, just kind of a peekaboo to the teams that are going today, can we play a fun game of are they still playing college football? You ready for this?
Okay, see, these are names that I have to say I think are out of college football.
Are they still playing, or are they not playing college football?
I know one name off the beaten path because I looked it up. DeColdis Crawford is out of college.
He's not playing anymore.
He's not been there.
DeColdis Crawford is an all-time, an all-time name guy. I was reading through. This was an article by Mandel of The Athletic, and it's pretty funny to read through some of these guys. Like Washington has, where is this? They have an offensive lineman that was in a Chris Peterson recruiting class. They have an offensive lineman.
Washington has an offensive lineman from Chris Peterson now?
On their roster, who was in the last Chris Peterson recruiting
class. So he had to have been a redshirt freshman who then got a COVID year, right?
Yes.
That's the only way that math
works.
He
was a 2019 recruit, which was his last year. And then they took over in the COVID year, and things didn't obviously go well. And with Jimmy Lake, and then obviously DeBoer, like that's how long that guy's been around. That one made me chuckle. Ready to play the game? Is Justin Flo still playing college football?
Yes.
He is. Where is he playing?
I don't know, but I saw Stuart Mandel say Justin Flo is still playing college football.
Justin Flo is still in college football. He is at UNLV. He entered the portal. He considered his options in the offseason and then decided
he's at the Running Rebels
to return to UNLV for one final season of college football. Who could forget five-star Justin Flo? Ah, the best there ever was. One other quick one, and then we'll get to a Jake Butt take from earlier that I found interesting. Is Ty Thompson still playing college football, Brandon Sprague?
Yeah, he's a tight end. where is he a tight end? He is a tight end somewhere.
Ty Thompson, come on down.
He switched positions.
He did switch positions. The best that never was. That's what they call him.
Yeah.
He is a tight end at Tulane.
Is that what they call him, the best that never was?
I mean, he's kind of that for us, right? Everybody.
You
was...
were a believer in him up until the moment he left the program. In fact,
I was.
I remember you adamantly... screaming to get Bo Nix off the field.
Yeah, wanted him to play.
And put Ty Thompson out there.
Wanted him to play. Andrew Nimmick told me he was a blend of Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson, I think, in his recruiting profile.
Did he really?
Yeah, dude, this is going to be awesome.
Lamar?
I mean, I remember there being
like
some very lofty.
I'm going to text Nemec right now. And say,
I don't remember Lamar, but I feel like there was a Mahomes in there in the comp or the profile, and I was like,
that's tough, man.
I think Nemec is going through some family stuff, so maybe not the best time to text him right now. He had a tweet the other day said they had a passing in the family, so I don't know if he wants a Ty Thompson text right now.
I mean, it could be a good distraction.
That is also true. It very well could be a good distraction.
I tell you right now, let me make you.
He is still a tight end, and he is playing at Tulane. One more year of college football for Ty Thompson.
If I'm personally going through something, you sending me random, unsolicited
random sports texts? Yeah. Death in the family, you want that?
Bring it.
You want a text about the seven hitter in the Braves lineup from 1999? Dude, I couldn't believe that guy was there. What are we doing at second base?
World Series appearing team.
That was a good team right
there. Did you see John Tanjay at training camp?
John Tanjay showed up day one training camp?
Wait, training camp?
Training camp's already begun?
Not yet.
Okay. He's just hanging around the facility.
Hey, Sprague, I know you're going through a lot. Just a reminder, John Tanjay's about to tear it up.
Well, since
hope
that was
42% preseason.
That was certainly a moment in time for me as a Duck fan that I'm not proud of. I was a believer.
The Ty Thompson hype?
I was a believer in Ty Thompson. I was very hopeful Ty Thompson would become a thing. Narrator says, nope, indeed, not a thing. He is a tight end at Tulane, and He will be out of the football profession in a very short order. On the other side of that, can I ask you?
Yeah.
Anything left in the Aiden Childs stock? Because he is projected to be the Northwestern starting quarterback this year with Chip Kelly as his offensive coordinator.
Stock is in. He could be a fifth to seventh round
NFL
draft pick.
How much is the Aiden Childs stock in college, just college football this year? If you were listing that on the NASDAQ, how much are we listing Aiden Childs stock for? $2? Is it a penny stock?
How much does Arby's cost?
It's a great question. Let me look it up.
I think it's trading at an Arby's level.
We're at an Arby's level
Arby's
of trading?
Arby's has the meats.
Arby's does have
they
the
do.
Meats.
They do. I also don't see people at Arby's when I drive past an Arby's. And I'm a little offended by it because I like Arby's.
I do love Arby's.
But
man.
I don't go to Arby's.
Is Arby's publicly traded?
Can you say you like something if you
don't
know?
Is Arby's part of?
They are not publicly traded. You got to give me
a
different
like
one.
PepsiCo?
They might be, but owned by a bigger brand. Yeah, give me another comp, and I'll tell you how much the stock is. Give me a random company that you think of. Aiden, when you think of companies, what makes you think of Aiden Childs?
Shiloh Inn, affordable excellence.
How much is Shiloh Inn?
I don't think they actually have stock.
Shiloh Inn, do they have stock? Googling? No, no Shiloh Inn either.
That's a local chain.
I think we're going about $2.99 maybe for Aiden Childs
Motel
stock.
Motel 6.
Motel 6.
Northwestern left the light on
too. Dude,
for
Motel 6 has to have a stock, right?
I don't know.
They got to be publicly traded, don't they? No.
Tell me. Give me some good news.
Hold on, Google AI. Nope, nothing. None of that either. God. We're 0 for 3 on trying to find our stocks. He had 10 TUDs and 3 picks.
American
last
Airlines.
Year. What was the plane? Somebody just had to pull a bunch of planes off. They just had to ground all their flights.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I know Spirit's done.
Spirit is definitely done.
What's American Airlines trading?
How much do you think American Airlines stock is?
1467.
Dude, maybe you should be a stockbroker. They're at $15 and, just went down a penny. $15 on the dot. Live as I was watching it, it went down one penny.
That's nuts.
$15.
I summed them up.
So who's more, what's this? Would you rather buy American Airlines stock or Aiden Childs Northwestern stock?
Can I buy 4 shares of American, please?
You want to go American
stock? I'm not buying it.
Yeah, you're not buying it.
What am I supposed to expect at Northwestern? A 7-win season?
I don't know,
3,000 passing yards?
No, I'm not that. His first full year at Michigan State, he had 2,400 yards, 13 TUDs, 11 picks. Mm. Last year, it didn't. I mean, it was rough. His completion percentage was low. The picks went down, but he was never really, they never functioned as an offense, and Jonathan Smith got ran out of there in relative short order. Yeah, I mean, it's do we put any stock into the Chip Kelly offensive coordinator thing anymore for a young quarterback? Like, is that redeemable? I don't know. I just, thinking of Ty Thompson will always make me somewhat think of Aiden Childs because he was kind of that for Oregon State.
Northwestern's schedule is brutal.
It is rough. He's playing, I mean, they play at Autzen on Halloween night, if I'm not wrong.
Didn't go well for him last time he was at Autzen.
No.
Their opener or conference
either.
Openers
you know what I mean? He's made two
Indiana.
Different starts at Autzen because he made one at Michigan State.
Yeah.
And Oregon State.
I was thinking the Michigan State game. Yeah. That's the last time he played at Austin.
And then that was the game. The last game of Smith's tenure at Oregon State was Aiden Childs starting a quarterback.
They have road games at Indiana, Ohio State, and Oregon.
Good luck. Good luck. Yeah. Fun walk down memory lane. Should I go buy a Ty Thompson Tulane tight end jersey? Do you think those are available online?
Get the baby blue ones because those are Tulane's best jerseys.
I mean, their jerseys are pretty sweet. I'm not going to lie.
So are their. Their merch.
Their
I
merch
have a
is solid.
Sticker. I want to put it on my laptop.
Let me see if I can find. I'll Google that while I play this. I'll see if I can find a Ty Thompson tight end jersey. Oregon getting set to go at Big Ten Media Days. Are we excited to hear from any of their players?
I don't even know who's there for them.
Dante Moore.
I got it.
Jamari Johnson. I know Swagger.
Oh, okay.
Jamari Johnson, their tight end.
I don't think I've ever heard Jamari Johnson.
Okay.
Talk.
That piques the interest a little bit.
Sure.
And of the defensive line, of all the guys they could have chosen, they chose Tatum Tuioti.
Well, they did Mateo last year.
They did do Mateo right? last year.
Tatum will be good.
Yeah. Do you think Tatum will be solid? Tatum's usually a pretty good soundbite. Yeah.
Tuioti, I think, is set to have a nice little season, although we did say that about Mateo, and he had kind of an underwhelming season, so we'll have to wait and see on that.
He did.
Although, according to his dad, he added muscle and cut his fat.
He cut the fat, added the bulk.
I'm curious here, Jamari and Dan. I don't find Dante particularly great as a quote.
No.
Seems like a really nice dude, but.
He's not the best soundbite from a quarterback standpoint. Not many of them are at the college level. He did an interview because pieces are coming out of all the expectations coming into this year. He said the Jets drafting number 2 had no bearing on his decision at all. Do we buy it?
I do. I think he looked at Oregon when he chose him as a landscape and a destination as somewhere where I can, first of all, get a breath of fresh air and learn the ins and outs of all this stuff from a good coaching staff, so let me take a year to process. I really do think he evaluated the situation and said, you know, I could get picked by whoever. I don't think it's beholden
to
the
Jets. It's not a guarantee that it's just number two, yeah.
And I could flame out, or I can improve on what I know I need to improve on, reading defenses, feeling more comfortable in the pocket, you know, picking the right guys to throw to in certain instances. Team's loaded, probably going to have a 10-plus win season. My stock's not going to drop unless I just throw a S-ton of interceptions.
Right.
So I don't think it was about the Jets. I do think he's smart in how he evaluates the stuff. I don't think it was like, well, yeah, the Jets have it. I don't think he went Plaxico Burress.
Well, you can't
Jets
do that either, because if you have a good year this year, where are you going to go?
Probably
you're going to go to a bad team.
I wonder if that Indiana finishing game had more to influence.
I would hope it did.
I would hope both Indiana games.
Yeah, he clearly is not ready to be an NFL quarterback. That was pretty easy to identify, was it not?
Yeah.
Yeah, I tend to believe him, too, because you got to be smart enough to have the wherewithal, too, that if you're going to stay at the top of draft boards, you're going to get drafted by a terrible team, mm-hmm, no matter what year you come out. Now, maybe it's Cleveland next year instead of the Jets. Does that make you feel any better about your NFL future? Mm. I don't know about that. So I tend to buy into him. Before I get to this cut from Jake Butt on Oregon, we do have the Ducks. We'll have some more thoughts on that. Who else are we excited to hear from today? So you got Pat Fitzgerald, Michigan State. We mentioned P.J. Fleck. He's rowing the boat into Big Ten Media Day.
A lot of hype around UCLA.
Dude, year 10 P.J. Fleck is still blowing my mind. I'm not going to lie to you. Him being there for a decade. I remember his name being in. Was that the Taggart coaching search?
It was.
For
it would have meant that he's 10 years at Oregon.
God, unless he would have jumped to a different job. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Ryan Day, Ohio State. We obviously know Dan Lanning. Barry Odom going into year two at Purdue. And then Bob Chesney, our guy Bob Chesney down at UCLA. Mm. Power rank my coaches today. In the Big Ten.
Bob Chesney's number one.
Number one, Bob Chesney.
You
know, a lot of hype, a lot of momentum.
The JMU train is rolling right now because they made the playoff and Cignetti won the title in Indiana. I think people were really impressed with their performance at Autzen.
They announced 2 days ago, by the way, UCLA did, that they received more than $41 million in private philanthropic support from more than 6,500 donors during the year. That is an 80.6% increase from the past 2 years. Money is a flowing.
Who was coaching last year?
We're in Los Angeles.
Do we remember his Big Ten media debut?
Yeah, we're in LA. Play football. Any questions? It's all-time moment.
It's
all-time moment.
It has to be in the running for worst coaching decision maybe in major college football history. And there's been some pretty egregious ones.
Dude, yes.
But that was the introduction to a new regime. After the coach before him largely said what to the media?
Nothing. And he did nothing to schmooze the donors, and so money wasn't flowing because
like
he didn't want to do it.
Openly saying, I don't care. I just want to coach football, and you're going to pay me a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, dude, I think $41 million are charged up.
That's insane.
Well, now they can pay off all their debts.
Well, yeah, I think they're also using it for the recruiting class, which is currently top 10 in the country for 2027.
I think Chesney is number one outside of Lanning.
You can put Chesney ahead of Lanning. That's fine. I don't care.
No,
if you could
Lanning
listen to one
really
press
good
conference today, would you rather listen to Bob Chesney or Dan Lanning?
I would have to listen to Lanning because we're going to talk about it.
For work-related
but
reasons.
But if I remove work, I am most curious about Chesney. He's come out fired up and make me feel better about buying into UCLA, weirdly, or am I going, don't know what to make of this guy, but I really like his coaching prowess, and I think the team can overperform.
Yeah. Ryan Day is always just kind of the same Ryan Day.
Ryan Day, here's what I wonder about Ryan Day. Ryan Day's got a pretty loaded team. People are going to talk about expectations and, you know, the pressure to win at Ohio State like he always has to talk about. You didn't like it earlier. I like that coaches are popping off at the SEC. I like that coaches are speaking up for their own conferences. I like when coaches give us their thoughts on the landscape. I don't have to agree with all of them. Mm-hmm. I don't have to like the coach in particular. But I do like coaches willing to talk. Ryan Day has been – when did he take over Urban?
2018, 2019, somewhere in there.
We're going on almost a decade of Ryan Day.
Yes.
And we jokingly told Jake Butt, people don't buy Ryan Day at the elite level the way they do other coaches.
Yeah.
He's established. He's won a title. He was really good last year. They were really close to winning the Big Ten championship. I know Miami did the belt-to-ass thing, but like – that's a pretty loaded team, a pick for many. I think Ryan Day has the cachet and the wherewithal. I'd love to hear Ryan Day's thoughts on a lot of stuff today.
His first full year was 2019. He's coached three games in 2018. I can't remember if that's because Urban Meyer was doing some sleazy stuff or if he was faking his headaches. I don't know, but he did coach three games in 2018, officially took over in 2019. His record is hilarious to look at. Do you know what his Big Ten record is? Ryan Day since 2019.
Has he lost more than three games in
the
Big Ten?
He has, but barely. He's 55-5
in
Big Ten play.
That's insane.
He is 82-12.
In 60 games in Big Ten play, he only lost five times.
55-5.
Like, how much better can you be than that? You could say, undefeated. That's not realistic.
Yeah, that's...
And he called out Lou Holtz when he was still alive.
He did. He killed Lou Holtz.
Come on, Ryan Day. Be impressive today. Give me some good stuff.
Yeah. So that is your lineup of coaches at Big Ten Media Day, and we'll all get started here relatively shortly. Landing, we'll have his audio tomorrow on the show, but everybody else will have it later today. We had Jake Butt on, so if you're watching on the Big Ten Network, you're going to see Jake Butt all over the place. He's great analyst for the Big Ten Network, former tight end for Michigan. I asked him about Oregon, the thoughts coming into the year, and their roster, and here's what he said.
Yeah, I would say I think roster-wise, Oregon has the best roster of all those teams. I mean, you guys got the best defensive line in college football. You have a quarterback that would have been a top three pick in last year's NFL draft. That, of course, matters. You're loaded at running back. I love your two young running backs. I think you maybe have the best cornerback in all college football in Brandon Finney Jr. I'd say the only question I have is you're introducing two new coordinators, and particularly on the offensive side of the ball, what is that going to look like? You know, just kind of structuring game plans against the better teams.
So he said that's the only question he had. He did go on to say he's taking Indiana to win the conference just because he's doubted them enough and he's not going to do that again. And I understand the perspective because I've been right there doubting them as well. I asked yesterday on Twitter poll question, is getting blown out in the playoffs again in the back of your head? The final results on this yesterday, the poll question, 79.9% of people said yes. It was really funny to read some of the responses on this, too.
Somebody said all day, every day.
It's all I think about. Somebody said, I almost wish I was in a coma for the season just to see the end result. Another one, I wouldn't have it any other way.
Would you ruin the entire season if you could just see the end result?
No. Because what if they did win a national championship? I'd want to go on the journey.
You'd want to be surprised.
If they don't win the national championship, by all means, let me know how it's going to end. Like, I want to know how I'm going to die, but if I'm not going to die, I want to know. I want to follow that pathway.
So I'm an all-seeing wizard.
Yes.
And I tell you, Andy.
You're the Wizard of Oz behind
the curtain. Look in this ball.
Let me look in the ball.
And all it will show you is where Oregon's football season ends. No context. No backstory.
In terms of the game they play in, the last game they play in kind of thing?
It'll show you the round and the results and how they, like, where they finish.
I would look at that. Well, not knowing the, I know the outcome of the game, though, or are you saying I would just, then no, I wouldn't look at that.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to know.
You'd say thanks, but no thanks.
No, I'd be like, it's like reading the last chapter of the book first, you know? I might have my heart broken, but I'm willing. Mm. I mean, how much more can you hurt me, you know? It's been a lot of pain, okay? Another one said, I don't care if we get blown out again because the last 4 years of Lanning has been a blast. When I was a kid, it was a good year if we just beat the Huskies and the Beavers. Now look what the program is at. And that's certainly a good perspective to have, and I share some of that. But, yeah, it was funny to see the responses at 80% of people. And that was the part, like, Butts mentioning the coordinators, and that certainly will be a massive storyline. The difficult part about Oregon this year, and I was thinking about this last night as they get ready for Big Ten Media Day, is there anything that Oregon can do in the regular season that would squash this fear for Duck? Because certainly it's something that exists in Duck fans' minds. That was brought up because George Reister was on the show yesterday to say he doesn't think about it at all. He's not worried about it at all. And I said, I admire the confidence there, but I have to admit that there is a thought in the back of my head when it happens back-to-back years. Hmm. That's the other difficult part with Oregon, is there anything that they can accomplish in the regular season that squashes those fears? Because I think the answer to that is no. Because no matter what they
could
do...
Who's the biggest game?
Ohio State on
at
the road.
Ohio State, if they house
beating Ohio State
the
by
Buckeyes
two touchdowns
in the horseshoe,
makes you feel has to make you feel different.
Do we got
to
play them again?
You don't know.
We don't know. I don't think that changes it.
If
I don't.
You go in there and beat them.
I want you to pull this audio. We'll bring it back.
I mean, I'm not saying I'm not going to be psyched.
You're going to be coming in thinking you're not going to want to say it, or maybe you will. Yeah. A 14-point win in Columbus makes you feel...
We would feel great. I'm not saying I wouldn't feel great about the win.
You go in there and beat them 49-31 or something.
Yeah, I'd be a great win. I'd be psyched. I'd be over the moon. But what is the response from everybody who is a Dan Lanning detractor? What is it going to be?
Well, yeah, doing the playoff.
So what does it matter?
But you asked, as Duck fan, should they feel differently if they accomplish anything?
I don't think there's anything that Oregon in the regular season could do because of how good they've been in the regular season the last 2 years and the way their season has ended that would eliminate that until you see them on the biggest stage.
I'm going to give you a different – what a miserable way to live in a college football season.
It's pretty tough, dude.
That sounds awful.
It's not fun.
Hey, my team's undefeated. They housed Ohio State and Columbus. You know what? It doesn't matter, though. We got to do it in the playoff. Okay.
What matters the most?
Being relevant?
Winning in the playoffs? Does it matter the most?
Sure.
What's the expectation for Oregon this year?
Win a title.
Okay, so being good in the regular season, is that good enough for Oregon this year?
So you beat Ohio State by two touchdowns on the road? You can't enjoy it? You're like, well, we can't.
See, this is, again, I'm not saying I'm not going to enjoy it. That's not the thing. I enjoy every Oregon win.
You just literally said the first thought's going to be, do it in the playoff. That's all anybody's going to say about us. Like, who cares? You're the fan of the team.
It's not necessarily about that being the only thought. It's the idea that I don't know if it eliminates the fear, even if they do that in the regular season.
Fear is for the weak. Live in the now.
I look forward to the moment of Oregon winning that game by two touchdowns in Columbus and then losing the first playoff game and everybody saying, see, Lanning can't win the big one.
Can we have a little context to it, though? Ohio State in the playoff 2 years ago, obviously a much different animal. You were lucky to beat them in the first matchup. It wasn't like you stomped them out in Autzen Stadium.
No, it was close.
You won on a walk-off field goal.
Could have gone either way.
Debatable little things, you know, PI, no PI, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't like you just absolutely laid the wood to them. And then what happened? Well, they caught you off guard. You weren't ready for what they did.
They
and
laid
they
the
also,
wood to
by
you.
The way, were playing much better football.
They laid the wood to you.
Last year, you were not better than Indiana. Not at any one point. The only reason you hung in that game was because of a Brandon Finney pick six.
Yeah, it was 20
if
to
that
20.
Doesn't happen, it is one of the worst offensive games we've seen the Oregon Ducks play in some time. And probably a double-digit loss at home. Then losing in the playoff by double digits to Indiana doesn't feel as surprising. So I think there's always a little context to some of this stuff. It doesn't feel good to end the season the way you ended. But if Oregon goes to Columbus and wins by 10 or more, I don't know why we need to play this game of what everybody else thinks about us or we need to see them do it in the playoffs. Enjoy it. That's awesome. It means the team's living up to hype.
I will enjoy every second of winning by double digits in Columbus.
I'm just saying if that happens.
If that happens, I will enjoy every second of that. But ultimately, the end goal of this year is to win a national championship. And everybody keeps telling me it's title or bust. Put my big boy pants on. So I'm trying to put my big boy pants on.
I don't know if bust is the right term because Dan Lanning's not getting fired.
Well, no, he's not going anywhere. Just a thought I had. The new coordinators, they've been so good in the regular season, and the season hasn't ended well for them in the playoffs the last 2 years. We'll see how it goes. Dan Lanning at Big Ten Media Day today as they get their season kind of officially underway. Camp a couple weeks away. Let's get to Stat or Story. That's next. 105.1 FM The Fam.
Crunch the numbers.
There's 6,127 students at Adams. 58% of which are girls.
So
that's 7,107.32 boobs.
Break the news.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Is it a stat or a story?
Evidence based on olfactory prowess is inadmissible, in case you didn't know.
This is Stat or Story, a monumental judgment call with Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, folks, it is Stat or Story time, as it always is on Wednesday, slightly after 9:30. We got a turn and burn here, so I'll throw mine out first. Your number today, ladies and gentlemen, it is 156. 156. Is it the total rushing yards last year from when Dante Moore, in his first full season as a starting quarterback at Oregon on the season, 156 rushing yards? Or is it the dollar amount, as in $1.56, that was the federal minimum wage in 1971 in the United States of America?
Stat.
Gonna go stat.
Yeah, he didn't take off that much, but he wasn't sacked that much. Yeah, stat.
Double stat. I get it on the page here. Hold on. Give me a second. Not a good way to save time. You were correct. 156 rushing yards for Dante Moore last year. The minimum wage in 1971. 71.
You're going to tell me it was 725, aren't
It was $1.60. And the reason I bring that up was that there was a recent economic study that was done that found when you compare housing, education, healthcare, and household expenses, that study has suggested that somebody making minimum wage in 1971 had a similar affordability lifestyle to somebody making six figures in the United States in 2026.
Pull yourself up by the bootstraps, stop bitching, and work eight jobs until you're 79 years old.
Make
all right?
ends meet, all
stop
right?
Stop pointing out facts for me. That's sad, dude.
It's pretty sad.
Yeah, I know.
Pretty sad. $1.60 an hour. 19. Swag was like 30.
It's a really
funny.
Year
I was born.
It's a really funny video of an old guy dancing at like it, you know, a dance hall somewhere, and he's slow spinning, and he looks like he's 80 something. It's like boomers after selling their homes for $2 million that they bought for 11 raspberries.
Yes, we're gonna be living large. A lot of them aren't selling yet either. They're just holding on.
They're gonna hold on.
Hold the line.
Go ahead, Swag.
Your number is 90.
You're right.
Is it the longest touchdown scoring play of the Ducks last season in terms of yards?
Okay, give me the number again. Give me the number again.
90.
90. Did they have a 90-yard touchdown last year?
Or is it the average number of chicken wings per year eaten by an American? It is National Chicken Wing Day.
Come on, Dirt. I need you here.
I'm trying to rack my brain on the, like...
Yeah, they're long
this
games.
This is just for you, Dirt. Nobody loves wings and ducks more than you do.
Their longest scored touchdown from last year.
Yes.
They had a kickoff return. A punt return. I know they had one that...
The year before they had punt returns and kick returns. Yep. God, people are going to kill me for this. I don't think it was 90. I don't.
So you're going story?
I don't remember a 90. I feel like a 90-yard touchdown would stick out in my head.
So you're also saying,
and
though,
it's
on
not
the other
sticking
side,
out.
The average American person eats 90 wings
chicken
in
wings a year.
I eat on average 10 per setting, but I probably only do it six or seven times a year.
There you go.
I don't think there was a defensive touchdown that was that long.
That's too high. I'm going stat.
I'm
going
to go story. Give me story.
Stat.
Final answer.
You said
stat.
Stat.
Okay.
What was their longest touchdown?
Benson's 85-yard punt return against USC.
They did have a punt
was
return.
Was the longest scoring play for the Ducks last year of their 71 touchdowns.
I totally forgot about the USC punt return.
I did too. Yeah. USC and their special teams, always underwhelming.
Yep.
So, yes, it is National Chicken Wing Day. On average, Americans eat 90 chicken wings per person per year.
I'd probably go over that.
I'm sure I go over that.
How many times a year do you think you make chicken wings at home?
Football season, regularly. Every other week, at least.
Really?
Oh,
dude. On the weekends, like on a Sunday or Saturday.
If not more.
If I'm not down in Eugene, I got a bag of wings on
okay,
the smoker
can we ask
every Saturday.
A follow-up.
Yeah.
Do you buy the full wing and then do the cut at home, or do you buy the prepackaged chicken wings?
Oh, prepackaged. Dude, I'm going to cut my wings.
How many packs do you buy? Because only one package. I always have to buy two.
Oh, usually
I get
two.
The ones at Costco.
The big Costco bag fills my whole smoker up with one bag. And I usually do one at a time, but I always buy two, so I have another one waiting in the wings just in case I need more.
Super Bowl Sunday, by the way, the biggest day for eating chicken wings. It's estimated more than 1.25 billion wings are eaten on Super Bowl Sunday.
I would say every time I eat wings, I eat at least 12.
I'm somewhere between, 12 and 16.
Yeah, every time I eat wings.
Every time.
Unless I order them at a restaurant and it's like a happy hour thing and there's only like six on the plate. If I have the control over it, I will eat at least 12. And I think I'm eating them at least 10 times a year.
I'm trying to think how many I think I eat.
The world record, by the way,
444
in 26 minutes.
That is so many wings.
That's a lot.
In such a short amount of time.
How many chicken is that?
I don't want to venture.
Good Lord.
It's a lot of wings, man. A lot of wings.
All right. Are you guys ready?
What do we got?
Your number is 19.
19.
Is it the age gap between what is being described as long-term friends who got into a fight at a San Antonio golf course and ended with a stabbing? Or is it where Penn State sits currently on DraftKings national title odds category?
Like the 19th highest odds to win the national title? Stat. Give me Stat. Okay. I think because of their schedule. I think they're in the top 20.
Also really tan Matt Campbell.
Very tan Matt Campbell. Tan. And it's Penn State. People are going to want to bet on Penn State.
I'm nervous about Matt Campbell. He's a little too tan. Looks like he's feeling himself too much. Man. Like you
had a big school, big payday.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Life's different
now.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody's 50, somebody's 31. We're having a stabbing. Stat.
Stat. Stat, stat.
Stat, stat.
Stat, stat. Penn State is 17th on the title board odds. Even better because of that schedule. And old tan Matt Campbell. This comes to us from San Antonio, Texas. According to the police report, a 37-year-old and his long-term friend, 56-year-old man.
Okay. It's a big age difference.
It's an odd way.
Are we thinking gay sugar daddy here? Because that's where my
describe the relationship.
I mean, if you're golfers, I could see
long time, long term friends is how they're being described. How long do you need to be friends with somebody to be a long term friend? Are you and I long time friend?
I think so. Over a decade.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think 10 years.
10 plus years. You're long time friend.
Okay. I think you're pushing up on a decade. You can get described as that.
So he's in his 20s. This guy's in his 40s when they meet.
Had to have been a thing where they just started playing golf and hit it off, and they're like, dude, you're a good golf partner. Let's go play golf a lot.
Or they're dating, and they don't want to tell the police officer
this.
I don't know, but they were golfing nonetheless, longtime friends. And it ended in a stabbing. According to the police report, 37-year-old victim had already gone to a local hospital where he told officers he got into an argument with his 56-year-old friend at the golf course over the game they were playing and the scoring. San Antonio Police Department say the suspect allegedly struck the victim with a blunt object before the confrontational turned physical. Police said the suspect then stabbed the victim, causing injuries that required the victim to be hospitalized. A spokesperson for the Quarry Golf Course said the two men were long-term friends and the violence stemmed from a dispute over their golf match. The spokesperson said neither man was a member of the course and declined further comment, being investigated for aggravated assault with a deadly weapon.
Who was cheating? Old guy, young guy, who was cheating there? Old guy?
What is the most contentious you've been with somebody you've golfed with?
Oh, I've been very contentious. I've had some very contentious run-ins on the golf course.
Like real blowout.
Yeah, like not maybe stabbing. Not to the point of fighting, but like shouting for lengthy periods of time.
No, not.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not
shouting.
On the golf course. I haven't. Yeah.
Like, show me an example. Like, we're in the golf cart.
You're the absolute worst!
Here you go.
Yeah.
What was it a knife or was it like it'd be better
if
it
was like...
stabbed
with a T or like a divot fixer?
Yeah.
Maybe he snapped the club in half and used the end of the club.
Right,
want to talk about
stomach.
Effective. Have you seen a club broken? It's
oh,
sharp.
Yeah.
Those things would do some absolute damage to your abdomen. That's
what
not
led
good.
To you to be out of character and do that?
I wasn't necessarily the one doing the yelling fully. People were yelling more at me. I've been yelled at on a golf course.
You just
before.
Said you yelled at
somebody. I wasn't the highest of the yellers, but I did escalate my voice to not fully match the yelling, but get into it a little bit. Our Southern Oregon golf trip can get very heated and contentious from time to time. And then you go back to the house and you have about 17 beers and you feel better about it. But in the moment, when you're on 16T and that thing got tight and somebody didn't like a ruling or didn't like not giving a putt, shouting will ensue.
Who is the first to, like, confront the situation? And, like, is there an apology or is it just, like, a cheers, no spoken thing?
There's usually, you know, after an hour or two, they're like, hey, ma'am, we just wanted to win. And you're like, I know, we just wanted to win, too. All right, let's have a good time tonight. That's usually how it goes. You just kind of move on. Act like it never happened.
I slept with your wife.
That's usually how it goes. Good stuff. Sadder story every Wednesday at 9:30. Hey, guys, it's really hard to do this, but we're close. Next on The Fan. There's our guy Jake Butt looking good on TV. Had him on the show today. If you missed it, you can go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com, at 1051thefan.
Yeah, that's
on
a good
Twitter.
Suit today.
That's a good looking suit right there.
It's football season, and I'm already feeling awful. Keon Coleman dropped the first pass of 7-on-7 at Bills camp.
Oh, that's not a good start.
And Ja'Marr Chase is fighting with half the team.
You see the Marvin Harrison highlight yesterday, Junior,
I did,
at Arizona?
I did.
Guy's dealing with some stuff, man. He's got some confidence issues right now.
Yeah, well, his counterpart was much better than him last year.
Very, very true.
Mr. Sophia Wilson. Michael Wilson himself.
That is very true. The quotes are starting to trickle out, and I will give those to you in a brief moment. But before I do that, Did you know we got some poll questions up today? And we got to read off the poll questions?
I do.
They are brought to you by the Neighborhood Restaurant Group. They bring in the fan poll question on X every day. Dinner tonight at one of their five locations, San Diego's Big Chicken Reverend's Barbecue, 808 Hawaiian, in Laurelhurst Market Steakhouse. Here are your poll questions. One from today. Are you still intimidated if your team plays the Kansas City Chiefs? And to where Swag and Sprague are right, 86.3% of you say no, not intimidated anymore. If your head coach or your favorite football team uses ChatGPT to relate to players, are you officially worried? 71.8% of you say yes, you are. Who wins more postseason games? These are from yesterday. Who wins more postseason games this year, Dan Lanning or Justin Herbert? 81.6% of you say Dan Lanning.
Ooh.
Let's see. I already gave the Oregon getting blown out the playoff one again. Last but not least, should a college football program be allowed to count a national championship title from 1869? And 66.1% of you say no. So there are the answers to your poll questions.
Good on you guys.
That is
good
the
on you guys.
Correct answer. Totally valid. How about this quote coming out of Big Ten Media Day? The car wash has begun. Now, we had PJ Fleck up on the stage, and now it's Pat Fitzgerald at Michigan State. Dan Lanning was chatting with On3 Sports.
Uh-oh, we got our first quote?
We have our first quote. He told this to Wilson Alexander, who is one of their national reporters.
Okay.
They were covering the days, and he said, quote, "It takes time. It's hard. It's hard to build. There's what, four active coaches who have won a national championship? We're close."
Hmm.
That is the first quote out of Big Ten Media Day from one, okay, Dan Lanning.
Do you like to hear that? We're close.
We're close. I mean, yeah, you are close. It is very hard to win a national
championship.
Every year
you don't win it, does "we're close" resonate less and less and less?
Yes. Yes, it does. Every year that goes on, I'm certainly not there yet. He's young. We got a long ways to go. Like somebody was texting in earlier about the idea of hiring internal coordinators and it being kind of a short-term move instead of a long-term move. Like, let's keep this together while we got all this talent back. And this is, again, and he pointed out to a Helfrich example of that, of like, let's keep the continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And again, this will always be the biggest difference, man. Like, Oregon back then was not recruiting at a top two or three level every year. They are now. And so there's never going to be this drop-off of like 7-5 or you're 4-8 and you fired a coach. I would be more than shocked if that ever happened. But yeah, every year that you don't win a national title and you come out and you say we're close, there certainly is that. That's where the James Franklin stuff comes in, because every year it was like, oh, can he do it? No, oh, can't do it this year. Okay, no, can't do it this year. And it went on and on and on until it finally broke, and last year everything crumbled in on top of them. I do think that they're close. I think they have one of the best rosters in the sport. They have as good a chance as anybody in college football to win a national title this year, and I do think it's incredibly hard. But he has built the team to get to this moment. Now you got to go capitalize, and we're going to hear from him on the stage in a little over an hour from now.
PJ Fleck, who was just on the stage, and now you got Pat Fitzgerald up there for Michigan State. Who, by the way, like, I'll give you a lot of credit. I was wrong on this. You called it. Couldn't have been a weirder fit and more odd fit than Jonathan at Michigan State. Fitzgerald looks the part.
He's now, Big Ten football.
Should
He's
his
Midwest.
Tie be darker green? Yeah, somebody screwed that up. He's got an Oregon Duck Kelly green kind of vibe going there.
Kind of looks like an Eastern Michigan shade of green.
But he looks the part for Michigan State. Is PJ Fleck one of the few? You get this every once in a while. I see this in, like, walking the streets of Portland.
Mm-hmm.
The rare instance where the guy would look worse with hair and looks better bald.
He does absolutely look better bald.
His head's a perfect size for his body. It's not too big, not too small.
Yeah.
His ears are a normal size. There's nothing on, like, his nose isn't very big. He doesn't have, like, very pronounced eyebrows.
Nope, it all fits.
The bald look with the tan head looks immaculate on him. He would look weird with
hair.
Yeah,
I just pulled up a picture of him at Western Michigan where he had...
It was, like, short and spiky.
It was a shaved head, wasn't it?
Short, and you could
tell... Not quite shaved, but it was short.
Like a McVay-type deal?
Yeah.
Because McVay was going bald until
he
got his hair.
It was going to be a landing strip, you can tell, in the front.
Well, McVay kind of has the crown going on his head.
Dude,
now, his
close,
was
man.
Short, but it was PJ's was slicked backwards.
Yeah.
He didn't have the shelf like McVay's got in the front.
Go look at his hair from his introductory press conference, too. He looks significantly better bald. Significantly better. It's one of my biggest fears. I don't know how I'm going to look bald.
I think you're going to look great.
I'm worried about taking the
buzz. When you buzz your hair to a certain length, even if there's
super
hair.
Super short, yeah.
I can kind of look at your forehead up and already say, like, oh, the color just wouldn't be there. That's the only difference.
Get the gist of how it's going to appear.
Oh, Yeah, I stand by my claim.
Yeah, he looks way better bald.
He looks terrible with hair.
He looks way better. It's a good look for him. He's got tan. There's good color there. He's confident with it, too. Not everybody can pull it off that way, but he certainly can.
Well, I've never said this to him, and I'd leave it to me to wait for on air, but like I've kind of felt this way a long time about Skanek.
Oh, without a doubt.
He's always like, I'm jealous of the hair, and I want this guy's hair. And I'm like, dude, I hate to tell you this. You look great bald.
It's kind of like once you become known for something, if you take it away. If Rop shaved his face, he'd be like, whoa. What happened there?
There's pictures on the internet.
They exist. If you go back to the soul patch, Isaac Rupp, like you're going to be like,
that'd
whoa.
Blow my mind.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Or the very sparse thinning hair of Jason Skanek, who now is bald, and he looks fantastic bald. It looks good.
My brother-in-law has a beard and has for a long time. I don't think I'm ever going to see his face again.
No, you shouldn't. If it looks good, you don't get rid of it. No. If I shaved, I'd look like I was 7.
You're not even curious to see what it looks like when you have a beard for a long time? Just to be like...
Shave it off, see how it goes.
I mean, it's going to grow back.
Yeah, it will. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll shave it all off one of these days. We'll see. Go bald. That will do it for us, folks. Good little show. If you miss it, go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com, at 1051thefan on Twitter, and at Dirt and Sprague on Twitter. We had Jake Butt on, so go check that interview. Great stuff from him on Big Ten Media Day. We have Adam Rittenberg lined up for Friday. We're hoping for another Big Ten guest tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. See what we can pull off. We'll have all the audio from today's Big Ten Media Day dealings, including Dan Lanning. All of that will be on the show tomorrow. Thank you so much for being a part of our Wednesday, everybody. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The Firm of Harrison Moring is next. You're listening to 105.1 FM The Fan.